In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The last several verses of St. Peter's exhortation provide a beautiful framework for understanding what the Lord is calling us to in our gospel. He says, St. Peter, "And who is there to harm you, even if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you suffer anything for justice's sake, blessed are you. So have no fear of their fear, and do not be troubled." If our thoughts, our minds, our hearts are tuned to the things of God, there is indeed nothing for us to fear. It gives us then the requisite courage to put out into the deep and to say and preach and live in a manner accord with the dignity that has been bestowed upon us. Our Lord makes very clear that at the heart of this relationship into which we enter with each other is rooted in the manner and the dignity in which we interact with God first and then with each other. Because if God indeed is forgiving and forbearing for each of us, as in truth he actually is, we are called to likewise do and be the same for others as well. It isn't just simply a matter of good social order, what the Lord exhorts his faithful to. Instead, it comes from truly that beautiful sacred heart that is full of infinite mercy. We are enjoined to forgive, to reconcile, to put aside any enmity and to live rightly with our brothers and sisters. Long before any actions would lead to violence, the Lord makes very clear that actually it begins in our hearts. What is required of us then is to put aside any judgment, any anger, not only in what we say, but also what is inside of us as well. We have to go forth and be reconciled because we seek that same reconciliation from God. But the courage and strength to do that emanate not from a gross sense of justice that is contained in ourselves, but rather it comes from that which Peter reminds us. If we focus on the good of God and do the goodness and the good things of God, we are then better able to go forth and be reconciled appropriately with our brothers and sisters. When we were in the seminary, we are often enjoined to what was referred to as fraternal correction. Not only were we subject as seminarians to our formators, but we are encouraged to be good instruments of formation to our brothers. Oftentimes, we saw each other more than our formators did as we lived in the halls and interacted with each other day in and day out. But fraternal correction at times can be extremely difficult. How does one approach an equal and remind him of those things that are wrong when he might in turn remind you of all the things that are wrong with you? How do we do that out of a posture and a disposition not of anger or resentment, but of true charity, of true love and compassion? How easy it is for us at times to point out the faults of others to others without ever going to the individual and providing him or her the opportunity to hear hard truths, but then to be reformed and transform their lives. It was very clear that while it was a difficult thing, it was necessary for us to do it. And the only way to possibly do it with great charity was to do what Peter commands. First, focus on God. Seek always God's love. And then there is no reason to be afraid of what the world might do, or even a fear that might come from those that we confront, how they might respond to us. The goal of our lives, brothers and sisters, is not to be liked. The goal of our lives is to be saved. Salvation comes about by doing the things of God. Most especially when doing the things of God may actually cost us something, and there is some difficulty that we must confront. In order for the community of God to truly grow and flourish, there must be always this striving for justice, which is rooted in truth. Truth-telling. Both those good things that need to be spoken and also the hard things that need to be heard. It does us no good to murmur about each other behind our backs or to point out the fault of others to others without ever providing the individual who is guilty of whatever sin that you have contrived to have an opportunity to be reformed and to be transformed. And as I offer this exhortation, it is a practical exhortation for us. Every community is tempted to find things that will divide and separate. But we most especially must be cognizant of constantly striving for unity. Not a unity that means we like each other, but a unity that is rooted in love and in justice. We are not seeking to be best friends with each other, kumbaya moments where we all feel good in our hearts. What we are seeking is a community that will allow us to be transformed and to be saved. We need each other. Let's be very clear about this. Not because we collectively save ourselves, but because God asks us to work out our salvation in cooperation with each other. The life of community, the life of communio, is a direct reflection of Trinitarian dynamics. We cannot be separate one from another. Again, not for good social order, not so that we can like each other, but because we have first been loved by God, which means we have to restore and share that love with one another. This will then require from us a constant striving for that unity, which may mean that there will be hard things that need to be said, whether it's me saying them to you, or you saying them to me, or we saying them to the individual who needs to hear them. But if we do this with charity, we do this with love and compassion, if our eyes and our sights are only and always focused on God, it will only always end in the good. And then that reconciliation that God desires for us, that he has effected on the cross, that he continues to make available to us in this Eucharistic sacrifice, we can indeed be reconciled with our brothers. And we can be a model for how men and women who might be disparate, who might have different dispositions, can come together and be one. For in truth, brothers and sisters, there is a oneness and a unity that can only happen in God, in Christ. This is something that our nation sorely lacks and is confused about each moment of each day. We're seeking to be one at the exact same moment where we're becoming more divided and more separate from each other. And it's because we're looking among men for the answer that only God can give. God is the one who binds and holds us all together. It is in God that we can speak about each other truly as brothers and sisters, one to another. It is God's mercy, his love and compassion that allows us to bestow that upon others as well and to rise above. After all, St. Peter begins his exhortation by reminding us to be compassionate, to be like-minded in prayer, to be merciful, reserved, humble, not to abuse each other or render evil for evil, but instead blessings, that we might inherit blessings. These cannot merely be words contained on the page, words only found in Scripture, but never translate into the way that we actually live our lives. And what a profoundly blessed moment is provided for all of us to create and craft what God desires for us, to live out that which Paul exhorts his community, to be reconciled with our brothers and sisters as a reflection of that reconciliation into which we have been drawn. It is a question I ask myself every day, every single time I pray, which is often throughout the day by law and by necessity. Am I convicted of the things about which I pray? Do I actually believe the things that I say and I do? And the answer is yes, obviously. But then the answer is also not yes, because my life oftentimes does not correspond to the very things I pray about, the very things I preach about, and the things that I read and study. This doesn't mean I stop there, but it does remind me that there will always be more for which I need to strive. There will always be more that I will need to ask of God that I might better cooperate, better form myself, better live with the graces that God bestows upon me. This is a challenge that can be met and a race that can be won, but only if God is our constant companion from first to last and everything in between. And so let us strive for that deep unity of mind and heart that only comes from God in Christ. And if there is indeed any division, let us not go to our separate corners and remain there, but instead let us seek out that reconciliation, either asking it from others or bestowing it upon others. Let us point out each other's faults with charity and compassion. And let us in some small way, in some small measure, remaining humble and hidden, Create here in our oratory that community that God desires for all of his people. Let us pray through this Eucharistic sacrifice that as we are reconciled to God in Christ, we may likewise be reconciled one to another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.